It's Brad Coles with me, the Illinois Municipal Director, Executive Director. You might get a kick out this morning, Brad. How are you, pal?
Good morning. Fine.
I'm doing mayors starting next Monday, running through next Friday.
Great.
I think I've got Steve Fortini. Mayor Fortini's going to be joining us Monday. Will Stevens from Murfreesboro is also going to be joining us next week. Mike Absher from Marion. And it's kind of interesting because we've got this lineup of, and we're going to do mayors all next week at 8:20. You're actually helping local officials that are new to the game and training today in Champaign.
That's right. We do newly elected officials training throughout the year, and we have a big conference in September. But in the month of June, we are putting on about a dozen of these newly elected officials training events all over the state. We had them in Galesburg and Rockford and Springfield and Bolingbrook. And next week, we have one in Belleville and one in Mount Vernon. An opportunity to bring all these new mayors and new trustees and city council members together, get an all-day exposure to the things that they're going to have to be working on, considering, and knowledgeable about for the next several years.
And I think Brad gives each one a calculator.
Well, we give them a slide rule and a box of Kleenex because they're going to be crying by the end of the day.
Yeah, and there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. And you know, if there's one subject that's out there that seems to get a lot of attention, it's the gas tax. The gas tax, all right, we got the state tax increase coming July 1st. You've got the local tax that'll be allowed to be on top of that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, is it as much as 3 cents, or is there a little flexibility there?
On the local side, it ended up being adopted by the General Assembly only for Cook County municipalities. So the 3 cent per gallon local motor fuel tax for non-home rural communities doesn't affect anybody outside of Cook County.
Okay.
But so that's a little bit of a reprieve for those folks if the locals wanted to do one. However, the state motor fuel tax increase, as you know and we've talked about before, has gone from 19 cents to an additional 19 cents on gasoline, and from 21.5 cents to an additional 24 cents on diesel fuel. So it's going to be 38 and 46 or whatever cents on gas and diesel, respectively.
All right. And yesterday I'm talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And there are some things happened to me, I can't shake them for a few days. And you heard this, too, when they were working on the Capitol bill in Springfield, saying, the Republicans saying, we should wait and see what they do in Washington, D.C., because that's a $2 trillion package before we make ours. And it turns out there was another reason behind that. Mike Bost shared with me yesterday the figure they're looking at is 25 cents per gallon federal tax that will go on top of the 43 cents state tax. This is piling on at this point.
Yes, and that's something that we warned about a year ago, because we've been advocating, frankly, that the federal government needs to do something to address infrastructure at the national level. The Eisenhower Interstate System is 65 years old, and it's not what it used to be. And rail, mass transit, all the issues that the nation needs to address for its critical transportation infrastructure needs a funding source. We've been advocating for the Congress to address that, and now Illinois as well. The General Assembly did that, and just as you indicated, there's a real likelihood. I've been hearing anywhere around 20 cents, so if that's what Congressman Bost said, he's much more of a expert on the issue than I am. So that could be a significant increase.
Yeah, I double-checked that this morning, went back to that and listened, and it's 25 cents. I thought it was 23. It's 25. Here's another figure. And this is interesting. And I got this. I want to check my source. This is WirePoints, right? I just want to make sure. Yes. All right. Household pension liability. For each household in Chicago, the liability for pensions, retirement debt, per household in Chicago, $143,230. Households outside of Chicago, and they claim they're using Moody's Investor Services and Cogniva for these funds for WirePoints, the share for each person, each household outside of Chicago, $73,768. Now, if you live in Williamson County, your average household income, I believe, is either $42,000 or $43,000, $73,000 for someone else's pension. 25% of this year's entire budget, the largest one ever, pays pensions. And that's just a small bite.
It is, and you know, when you're talking about $140 billion in state unfunded pension liability, that's where you get to those numbers. That's why there was a lot of concern about whether or not pension payments were going to be made by the state this year, and that is budgeted to do that. And our favorite topic, which is not our favorite because we love it, it's our favorite because we have to tell people about it, and we have to address the issue and resolve it, is these downstate public safety pensions. And you and I have talked about that for decades. That's $1,000 per person statewide. That's just $1,000 per person. That's one fund, the downstate public safety pension funds. That's the outstanding liability. I mean, that's a lot of money. Just that is a lot. When you factor in all the state unfunded mandates, or I'm sorry, unfunded liabilities on the pensions, that's how you get to those multiple tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, after talking to Susana Mendoza, I guess just a little over a week and a half ago, you know, you start realizing when you talk to her, she's saying, you know, if I'm going to be intellectually honest, we can't say this is a balanced budget because we got $7 billion in unpaid bills. All right, we get that. But, you know, what's interesting is we don't talk about the money we borrowed. You don't see that talked about in any form. We just have billions of dollars out there. And then you've got the figure on what we totally own on pensions. A lot of people will disagree on that rather vehemently as well. But when you look at the people who do this for a living, and that's what they do, over $200 billion. That's pretty safe, right, Brad?
Yeah, I'd say it is. When you add it all up, and, you know, what's a couple billion dollars when you're talking about a couple hundred billion?
Right.
So you're in the ballpark, and that's real money, and it's affecting the state government, it's affecting local governments, and that means it's affecting the taxpayer, which is you, Tom, and all of your listeners. Every single one of us are affected by that because we're the ones paying the bill.
When it comes to the budget and the capital bill, you have seen, this is hard to kind of qualify, so I'm glad I've got you to talk to about it. You see a sense of relief. I mean, I can call up any of a long list of school administrators in a university, and there's a sense of relief because they have a figure, they got a number to work with. You know, you'll see other people say, okay, all right, we're going to get some new roads. This is going to get fixed. This is going to get fixed. The state representatives in our area pretty excited about the number of dollars coming their way for infrastructure. All right, so we celebrate the success aspect, but the fact is somebody's got to be held down and their pockets have to be rifled to pay for it. And that's the part that I think there's a kind of a collective shame. Or we just don't want to talk about it. But these things are very real on the bottom line. They're very real for seniors. They're very real for people who have a household income of $40,000 when you see your permits go up for every vehicle and you got a couple of kids and vehicles. I mean, am I getting kind of the idea? I mean, we got success coming our way, money, but still there's a cost, and that cost is, I find it intimidating, if nothing else.
It is, and it definitely can be. And let me just point to a couple of different scenarios. Now, first of all, everybody agrees, and I think we applaud the governor and the General Assembly for acting on the Capitol bill. So that's been necessary, should have been done. It should be done on an ongoing basis, so it's not a big deal every 10 years. It should be an annual, how do we address our infrastructure needs, whether it's transportation or otherwise. However, the couple of different scenarios, look at just in your listening area, you're up against three different states. And so there is a real issue with border communities and how these increases in things like motor fuel tax affect them, because it's easy for their own residents to go across the border to Indiana or Kentucky or Missouri and fill up over there. That is an issue, and that drives some of the economy away from Illinois. The other is, don't forget, not just the individual taxpayer, but I spoke to the chairman of a major company in southern Illinois just this week. They purchase 1 million gallons of fuel, 1 million gallons of fuel every year. That's $250,000 they're going to have in additional expense. That's got to come from somewhere. That means either higher prices from their products or wage deflation. However, we do know that there's going to be a minimum wage increase. So that starting wage is going to go up at the beginning of the year and then thereafter. So there's a pinch. There's a pinch that's put on businesses, their employees, and the residents throughout the state, and that's got to be attended to. Now, again, I go back and say there needed to be a capital bill, and we applaud the governor for leading that and the General Assembly for enacting it. But we have to look at the rest of the equation, too. How do we support the economy? How do we support our residents? And that's what's happening at the local level. Mayors, the ones you're going to have on your show next week, city council members and aldermen, they have to resolve those issues at the local level because that's where people live, and they have to be able to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of their residents. That's what's getting squeezed even tighter through all these things.
And there's a second order of effect. I'm not going to pay it. I'm leaving. And I was hearing it before, and I'm hearing it more louder, more vehemently, with conviction and plans behind them. People who had said, you know, I am going to move, but I'm going to wait till my son or daughter graduates high school or maybe graduates John A. Logan College or SIU or whatever. And then I'm leaving. My wife and I are leaving. We already have a plan. We know where we're going. And she works in healthcare. I know she works at the hospital. I know she's a nurse. She'll be welcome in other towns. I'm out of here, and I'm hearing it now, and there's no smiling. There's no hyperbole behind it. It is done with conviction.
And it's a reality, and we've seen the number of people leaving the state over the last several years because of the budget impasse and some of the problems that the current administration is trying to fix. But taxation is an issue. The services, what do you get in return? And, you know, that's the real bottom line issue. People go where they're wanted, and they stay where they're appreciated. I've told you that before.
It's
a business mantra. It's the same for people as it is for business. And, you know, this is an issue that's going to affect the state of Illinois and many communities throughout the region because, as you've brought up on many occasions, our numbers are declining. The census is coming up. The numbers are going to be down. We're going to lose representation in the Congress. How does that affect businesses? The people that are mobile will be mobile. So the ones that have good jobs, the folks that can go other places, aren't looking to do that. And as you indicated, many of them are.
Yeah.
The good thing, though, is, and I'm an optimist, but you know, there's a lot of things that weigh on that. We have so many great reasons to stay in southern Illinois or central Illinois or northern Illinois. The state has so many wonderful resources. The people significantly, but all the other natural resources. But it's a tough time right now.
You know, money and income is an issue with the state of Illinois, but it's also there's the way it's handled economically. All right, if I want to go, and it was interesting because I'm going to use a guy that was a good friend of mine for many years, the outdoors company, Carbon
Air,
right? I knew Mickey really well, like Mickey.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what people do? He closed the store in Carbondale, right? People would come into a store with his phone. They go, wow, look at that coat. Man, that's really nice. And then they'd go online and go, oh, wow, I can get it off Amazon for $40 cheaper. And they'd walk out the door. They'd actually try it on in the store and then walk out in the parking lot and order it on their phone.
Yeah.
Right? Because those stores weren't paying local income tax.
Right, the local sales tax. And that is an issue that has been out there for 20 years. And the Illinois Municipal League has been working with folks like the Illinois Retail Merchants Association and others to level the playing field. And we've seen where the application of sales tax at the store, the brick-and-mortar store, pays for all those infrastructure needs that communities have. And communities like Marion and Carbondale and DuQuoin and Harrisburg and Metropolis that are kind of destination centers where people go and they shop, those local sales tax dollars provide for the needs of the community. The increase in online sales and retail activity over the last 10 and 20 years has made it a competitive disadvantage for somebody like Mickey to have a storefront. And so we worked diligently, and we've been focused on this for a long time, but this year we were able to enact through the General Assembly a leveling of that playing field so that online retailers will be paying the same or collecting the same tax that the regular brick-and-mortar stores are doing. And that is a great day for those local businesses that have somebody walk in, try something on, and then say, well, I'll get it shipped to me tomorrow because I can send it back to them, free shipping or whatever, if I don't like it. And they don't realize the negative impact that has on the local economy. A good friend of mine, Don Smith, has passed many years ago, but, you know, used to own the Ben Franklin downtown Carbondale, and people drove right past his store to go to the new Walmart.
Yep.
That's fine, but when you save that nickel, it takes a dime out of somebody else's pocket.
Right.
And the local economies have suffered from online retail activity, and we're going to be able to resolve that beginning next year. It's not a new tax. It's just the application of existing tax, and it will help make up for the lost revenue, and it will really support those local businesses that are members of the Chamber of Commerce, that sponsor the Little League teams, that donate to the Crime Stoppers programs and all of those things, the people that live next door to us. So we're really pleased with being able to get that resolved this year.
All right. Flooding has been an issue for many of your municipalities. We're speaking with Brad Cole, the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, and, of course, the $19 billion package in D.C. to help in some of the flooding, along with farmers and trade tariffs, the disaster package, we'll call it at this point. And Illinois should be seeing some of that money because we've never seen one quite this long. We have seen worse, but the length is another issue. The farms are another issue. The businesses that couldn't conduct business along the way. What are you hearing from your municipalities?
People are very concerned, worried, and in many cases frightened. I've spoken to local leaders from across the state. Just yesterday I was speaking with a number of agricultural industry officials and farmers from throughout central Illinois. Some crops are in barely, many are not. The flooding that is affecting transportation to and from those, the Mississippi River traffic, there is a real ripple effect, no pun intended, that is going to have a negative consequence to the Illinois economy. And we are an agricultural state.
Yep.
And the flooding, you know, we saw it in 93 and 94, but this is the duration much longer, and I think, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. So it's a real problem, and everybody's talking about it. We're glad to see some of the activity happening with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, rural development, and the Congress getting into some of these issues, but it's going to have an effect, and it will have an effect at the grocery store for us, too, in about 6 months or maybe less.